there, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of That's How We Roll, a bi-weekly podcast where I talk with motivating and inspiring women who are professionals, entrepreneurs, organization leaders, artists, and so much more. This week's guest is Patrice Dois, an accomplished author, award-winning poet, education entrepreneur, and former Miss Liberia. She is the founder of the Martha Dois Educational Foundation based in Liberia, West Africa. The foundation launched the Sexy Like a Book initiative designed to inspire young women and girls to improve their perspective on reading, literacy, and education. She is a firm believer in the transformative power of education. Among many things, Patrice is a Mandela Washington Fellow for President Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative and also a Deutsche Welle Global Media Fellow. Patrice's desire is to motivate and empower young women by supporting local nonprofit organizations to educate women on HIV/AIDS, teenage pregnancy, and education. So let's find out more about this incredible and amazing woman and her accomplishments and platforms as we welcome Patrice Dois. Welcome, Patrice, and I'm so glad to have you join us here today on That's How We Roll.
Thank you so much, Avis, for having me. What an honor. I feel truly, truly blessed to be here today.
Well, we're blessed to have
you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I'm so excited because this is my first international interview. But I'm doing good. I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Yes, I ask how you're doing. You're welcome, because these days, you know, with the pandemic and all of the changes we are experiencing across the world, that question is very important. It's one we take lightly, but I think it's a critical question we all should ask. You know, the fact that we are looking okay from the outside doesn't necessarily mean that we are all okay.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yes. Because you don't know what's going on inside. Like you said, the picture looks pretty on the outside, but there's a lot of stuff going on in each and every one of us. And we don't know how everyone was affected. And just because it looks like they're fine doesn't mean that they are.
Absolutely.
This is like a second epidemic that you've experienced in your lifetime, correct?
Yes.
You had the epidemic of Ebola, and then now, as you said, most recently, yes, COVID. Yeah. What did you learn about that experience from Ebola that carried over into these COVID times?
Well, I tell people that if the world had paid attention when we had the West African Ebola outbreak in 2014, that we would have had a more robust response to COVID, because I believe that Ebola was sort of like a dress rehearsal to COVID, a dress rehearsal of sorts. But because, you know, it's a small part of the world, people were I think they thought, you know, let them just deal with their issues on that end, you know, it's just a small part of the world. But now with COVID, we are all in the same boat, and we all, you know, are juggling for answers and trying to see how we can get out of this. It's sort of like a ride, you know, a bus ride, and we don't know when it will end. During the Ebola outbreak, I wrote a poem called The Ebola Ride, because it just felt like we were stuck on the bus and we didn't know when the ride would end. And this one feels the same or even worse.
It does.
Yes, absolutely. You know, with Ebola, we were doing social distancing. We were doing all of the hand washing before it became a thing. And so I learned empathy and the importance of collaboration, you know, all hands on deck, because that was what really helped to kick Ebola out of the region when, you know, people started working from the grassroots up. We saw a lot of, you know, interventions, local interventions, as well as international support. So it wasn't only the help we were getting from abroad, but people on the ground were really, you know, creating innovative solutions to see how we could all combat the disease. And so that's what I learned, the power of collaboration and local interventions and efforts.
Wow, I love the description that you gave, that Ebola was a dress rehearsal for COVID, because most of us never even expected that we would have this epidemic here at this time. We never would have thought about it in a million years, but here it is. And, you know, we're trying to get through it, and we're still on that long bus ride. We're still on the bus here, trying to get through this and trying to get past this.
Yes, it is. Hopefully it ends soon. But now with the vaccines and everything, I think things are looking positive.
Yes.
I recently worked on a story, and I'm trying as best as I can to encourage people to take the vaccines. That's, the best thing we can do. Those of us who are storytellers, of different kinds, to encourage people and mobilize them to see the positive side of things.
That's true. And through that is education for people. And I wanted to hit on that because I know education is key in everything that you are doing. And yet educators and teachers, they don't get the accolades or the recognition that they deserve, no matter where they are and what they're doing. And they are definitely the unsung heroes and sheroes around the world.
You're right.
They really are. How are you helping in connecting the worlds regarding education?
Well, through my, currently I am on the, I've been, when I became Miss Liberia in 2006, my platform, I saw it more like an ambassadorial role that I had to represent my country globally and to help, inspire young people, because my mother was a teacher for 50 years, a primary school teacher, and she taught across rural communities in Liberia. And so she inspired my mother and my late sister. They inspired my love for education, my love for books and reading at a very young age. And I grew up during a civil war. My country, Liberia, had a civil war that lasted for 14 years. And it was because of that love and passion for reading that was inculcated in me at a very young age that helped me transcend all of the chaos that I was surrounded by. And so education is very important for me. So when I became Miss Liberia in 2006, I saw my role as an opportunity to further champion education and to bring young women along with me as I excelled and as I discovered myself. And so I launched, as you mentioned, several educational projects, the foundation in honor of my mother and her service to her country and the educational sector in Liberia. We have advocated for and provided scholarships and educational resources to girls in rural communities, because it's very important for girls across the world, even if you're in a village, to know that they can become the best that they want to be. If they see somebody who is a part of them, and the person has been able to excel and that person goes back to them, with opportunities and the right mentorship and resources, it's good, it's a great opportunity that we can give girls. And so we provide scholarships, mentorship, and with Sexy Like a Book, the girls have been writing their own books, because most times you see that, when it comes to girls' advocacy work, especially around education and girls' rights, people speak on behalf of girls and never give them the chance to tell their own stories. And so a part of what Sexy Like a Book represents is to give girls the opportunity to use their voice to tell their own stories so that they're able to speak about taboo topics unfolding in their communities, and they're able to make informed decisions as socially conscious young leaders. And so that's the work I've been doing. Currently, last year, I joined the Karanga, which is the Global Alliance for Social and Emotional Learning and Life Skills. And so with Karanga, what we do is to advise organizations globally as educators or education entrepreneurs, policymakers, and activists to see how we can embed social and emotional learning into the global education system. So that's what I do with Sexy Like a Book in particular. And education is a big part of my work, and I intend to continue creating opportunities for girls across Africa and the world.
Wow, that's so important to give the girls a voice, their own voice, so that they can speak for themselves, say what's on their minds instead of through someone else. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What are some of the manifestations of this work have you seen? What have you accomplished so far with these girls and with the programs and the educational guidance that you've given so far?
That's a great question. Initially, when the girls, most of them are in high school when we bring them into the program over the years, during my days as Miss Liberia, through Miss Education, through Mata Jua Educational Foundation and the scholarships, through Sexy Like a Book and the different writing workshops and mentorship initiatives we've had through all of the different efforts and projects. I've seen girls who were very shy initially, very withdrawn, and as time went on and they became more confident, you know, these girls became more confident and started using their own voice, as I said. And with the scholarships, we've been able to give brilliant girls in the rural areas who didn't necessarily have the financial support. We've given them the opportunity to go to school. There was a young girl we supported in one of the counties. She was the very first in her family to go to school. We've seen girls, we've been able to help parents, you know, lift some of the financial burden that they were encountering in, you know, sending their girls to school. I've seen some of the girls most of them, you know, have completed high school. They've gone on to launch their own initiatives, because the whole idea is that as you go through the program that you're able to, once you're done, you're able to serve as an ambassador and a mentor and role model to other girls. Some of them have launched their own initiatives. Some of them have gone on to earn their master's degrees. And they always say that these platforms or these projects were the stepping stone, you know, for the work that they do today, especially with the writing. These girls, some of them are writing, you know, for different platforms because of the opportunity we give them with Sexy Like a Book to write their own book and stories. And it's just, they've just continued to grow, and it's really beautiful to watch. Ours is a sacrificial work. Sometimes the support isn't there like that, but seeing the impact that we've made over the years through these girls and their stories, I'm truly inspired to continue doing this work.
That's amazing to create a program that actually creates other ambassadors and other mentors that can go out and multiply and be a mentor to someone else. And that's very important for a lot of these young girls, especially nowadays, that feel like they don't have a voice or feel like they cannot be a mentor to someone else. But that it is very powerful to create other youths to help you.
Thank you, Avis. Particularly on the African continent, you know, where we have a patriarchal culture, Liberia has managed to really lead the way when it comes to women's leadership. We elected Africa's first female president. So we have an example to show to these girls that it can be done in all spheres of leadership, whether it's in the educational space or the business landscape. Girls have seen that it can be done. And so it's a part of our work to continue to show them the possibilities and provide the resources to enable them to thrive.
That's awesome. That really is. And that is a great mentor, a great example, having a female president. It really is a great example to let them know that they can strive and be anything that they want to be. So that is a great message. So going back, you were Miss Liberia. Now you've created this Miss Education Awareness Pageant. Can you talk a little bit about that? And I'm sure that being a former Miss Liberia, as you said earlier, you use that platform for other things and to create more stuff for education. So how does this Miss Education Awareness Pageant work?
Well, Miss Education, we haven't had the pageant. We morphed into Sexy Like a Book because Miss Education and the foundation were my first initiatives when I won the pageant. And so Miss Education was even recognized by First Lady Michelle Obama in 2014. She thought it was an innovative approach, you know, to keep girls in school. And so she acknowledged the work we did with Miss Education. So when I won the pageant, you know, when you win a pageant, most times people see you, regard you as only a pretty face. And so I felt like it was my responsibility to change that narrative and show to the world and my country that there's more to being a pageant title holder, that you are an ambassador of sorts for your country. Because it doesn't only take, it's not only about your looks. You know, you have so much to bring to the table. You have your intelligence, you have your talent, and it's a rigorous process, you know, that requires a lot of preparation, a lot goes into preparing for a pageant. But sometimes people only, you know, tend to see it one in a one-sided way. So it was my job to change that narrative and encourage other girls that once you have a cause that you're passionate about, you can use a pageant as the platform to champion these causes. And so we launched a Miss Education where we went into the various high schools and recruited the most brilliant girls, mentored them, and they participated in the pageant and they were judged solely on their intelligence. And the winners were certificated as education ambassadors. And they all, like Sexy Like a Book, you know, went back and given scholarships, they were mentored, they got a lot of resources and support, and they all, once they completed the program, they went into their communities to serve as young education ambassadors. But over the years, the pageant has morphed into what is now Sexy Like a Book, because I believe that we all have to grow and we have to evolve in whatever it is that we are doing. And so Sexy Like a Book is that next level of Miss Education, where it goes beyond the pageant, but really engages girls in a holistic manner, incorporating the social and emotional component. And so Miss Education, yes, was very impactful when we did it. It's still one of our projects, but now our focus is mostly on the scholarship initiative through the Martha Jua Educational Foundation and our Sexy Like a Book project, and the writing, the mentorship, and the social component of Sexy Like a Book that encourages girls to learn beyond the classroom, where they're socially conscious. They learn about etiquette, they learn about just politics, different things unfolding in their communities so that they are grounded and solid, socially conscious young leaders. That's the work we're doing. We're still growing and ever so open to learning. I'm just so excited about the future and connecting with women like yourself who one day will probably be able to speak with some of our girls and share your own story and experience with them so that they can be inspired by such a phenomenal Black woman who's doing amazing things on the other side of the pond.
I know. Yes. Yeah. That's wonderful. And I'm glad that it has merged into something like Sexy Like a Book. That is a great message that you have out there. So you are an author, and I know you will continue to put out books, and you are a poet. You are an award-winning poet. What was the catalyst or what drove you to be a storyteller?
Oh, I love this question. I love this question so much. Well, a storyteller. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, books have always been a huge part of my world. In fact, books were my best friends before I started making human friends, I guess. We had a civil war in my country that lasted for 14 years. And during those years, I would escape. My family did their part. My mother and my late sister did their part to shelter me from all of the chaos that surrounded me. You hear guns firing on the outside, you know, of our home. We were constantly running, you know, from place to place as displaced people. At some point during my early years, I was a refugee because my family fled to neighboring Cote d'Ivoire to escape the conflict. But one thing that remained constant in my life was education and books. You know, my sister, my family always had books for me, and I was always reading. And I started to dream, you know, as I read these different books, I started to realize that, like I said, books and education were always very important. So as I started reading, I started escaping, you know, and going into places like traveling, going into L'Avenue Champs-Élysées in Paris, going to New York. And I said, oh, wow, there's more beyond this conflict. There's more outside of my tiny shores. And so I began, as a form of therapy and escape, I began documenting my stories. Every time I would write a short story, you know, a poem, And I just found so much comfort in doing that. And that was how I was able to, although I was faced with a lot of traumatic experiences and saw and was exposed to a lot of things as a child, but books and storytelling kept me sane and safe. And so, yes, that's how my journey as a storyteller began, from the war years in Liberia, when I sought refuge and solace through the pages of books.
Right. So you probably have some great things. So I'm going to link everything about Patrice's poetry and writing in the show notes so you can check it out. And also, if you want to donate to Sexy Like a Book, I'm going to have those links as well. Is there anything that you've read, watched, or listened to lately that inspired you?
Yes, I read a book called Professional Troublemaker by Lovey Ajayi Jones, and a leadership book called Dear Leader. And those two books have really inspired me. And I encourage, you know, other women to, especially during these complicated times, to check those two books out. You will be deeply touched and inspired as well.
What was the main takeaway from the book?
The main takeaway from The Professional Troublemaker is to disrupt, you know, and carve out your own path, and be daring and bold and audacious, you know, as you go along your journey. And that if you don't find the blueprint, make sure you are the blueprint. Because sometimes when we set out to do the things we want to do, you may not necessarily see someone in the world or find any role models. And there, you know, those instances call for you to take the lead and chart your own course and path.
Oh, I love it. Make your own blueprint. Forget about what somebody else did. Update the blueprint. Break down a wall and build something else. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So you've been traveling and studying outside of Liberia over the past year or so. And you were recently in Spain, I believe, correct?
Yes, I was. I love Spain. Such a beautiful country, rich in culture and history. And I love the city of Madrid. And I wrote the poem that I won the award for is a poem I wrote in honor of Madrid and my love for the city. As you know, Spain was one of the hardest hit countries during the earlier days of COVID. And so being an African woman living in Madrid, I thought it was fitting to do a poem that honored the beautiful city and recaptured, you know, how I saw the city, the memories and the good times I had, and how the city embraced all of us during our earlier days there. So yes, it was called an Afro-Madrileña love note. And it won the prize, the IE Foundation prizes in the humanities for poetry in English. Such a big award, and I was really humbled and honored by it.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And why were you in Spain?
I was there studying. I'm always very fascinated by cultures, languages, and I just love exploring places that people wouldn't necessarily. I mean, we all travel, but living in a place humbles and grounds you in a way. And so when I got the opportunity to do my graduate research there, I was really excited.
How long were you there?
I was there for a year. Yes, I didn't know any Spanish when I went to Spain. I only knew hola. Yes, but my school is such a great school, and they had a lot of languages, you know, that we could learn different programs. And so I decided to do Spanish, and I left from Spain really with a decent grasp of the language and a greater understanding of the Spanish people and culture. And I feel like it's another home for me away from home, which is the case with a lot of places I've lived, like Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana and the United States. You know, Liberians have a deep connection and history with the United States because our country was founded by freed African Americans in 1822. And so a lot of Liberians have family members in the U.S., a lot of Liberians aspire to live in the U.S., and a lot of Liberians live there today and have gone to school there. So So yes, I view myself as a Pan-African woman and also a global citizen because I'm very much interested. I love meeting people. I enjoy networking. I enjoy learning and unlearning and just immersing myself in different cultures and languages. So yes, Spain was a beautiful experience for me. And I'll be back soon.
I know. I yeah. That's one of my dream places is to go to Spain one day. You are such a motivator and inspiration yourself, but what motivates and inspires you?
I'm inspired by my mother, who made immense and tremendous contributions to the educational sector in Liberia, my late sister, Aretha, and of course, the stories and journeys of African women and girls around the continent. I admire their strength, their courage, their tenacity, and their ability to push forward amidst all of the limitations they face daily.
What's next for you? Where are you traveling to next, and what will you be doing there?
Well, what's next for me? Okay, so I was in Spain, and I got my degree in international relations and affairs. So upon completing my degree, my family was faced with a loss. You know, we lost my big sister, who was my biggest supporter, my best friend, my cheerleader. And so I had to return home upon graduation to be with my family. And so this past year, it's been a lot, you know, but it has opened my mind to so many other things and possibilities as I juggle a career, you know, and dealing with grief and dealing with the pandemic. It has forced me to show up. You know, I've in those moments, in my low moments or my lowest moments when I've wanted to say no to things, you know, opportunities like being on your podcast. I'm so honored to be here, you know, because I'm just so honored to be on your podcast.
Thank
and I kept telling everyone in my family, you know, before we did this recording today, like, oh, I met this phenomenal woman and she invited me to be a guest on her podcast. And so, yeah. There have been moments, you know, that I have just wanted to just not do a lot because of the grief. It's a complicated journey. But then I've kept saying yes to things, even if I, you know, when I don't feel like doing them, I say yes. And if they've all helped in my healing and recovery journey. So I'm really happy. So yes, I'm working. I'm a consultant. I do work for various international organizations. I'm writing. I'm working on more books. And of course, a book in honor of my sister, her legacy and impact she made in my life and her contributions to Liberia and women and rural development in Liberia. And I'm currently editing several books. Earlier this year, I released my first children's book called Why I Smile. My first book is a book of poems called Under Duka Skies, and that was published in 2018, and it became Amazon's number one new release in African poetry upon its release.
Fantastic. Congratulations on that, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes. And so with the children's book on Why I Smile, the whole essence of the book, because children are dealing with this pandemic, this is why social and emotional, you know, skills are very important to help children, you know, cope with difficult situations. And so Why I Smile was co-written with my six-year-old nephew. And the whole idea behind the book is to motivate and inspire children and encourage them, you know, as they go through difficult situations, to know that they can still smile. And so it's available on Amazon. Other projects, yeah, more writing projects, more editing, more communications and international work. And travel, very soon I should be visiting. This year with COVID, I've been, you know, trying to find ways to explore more of the African continent since, you know, all of the borders around the world aren't open yet. Mm-hmm. So I'll be doing more travel across the African continent. And then I'll be on my way to Ghana soon, which is another home for me. I used to live there. I've been in and out of Ghana. So it's another home for me. So I should be there very soon as well. And my girls wrote a second book, which will be out soon, a second anthology Yeah, and that is another project I've been working on. So I always have so much going on and juggling a lot of different things. But
it seems like you're doing well at the juggling. So that is phenomenal.
Thank you. Yes, because I love what I do. As long as it's aligned with my purpose, I enjoy doing everything, you know, that I've been blessed to do. Thank you.
Yes. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to leave with us today? Anything through your journeys that may help or will help someone listening today?
I just want people to know that one, you know, we all live our lives waiting to arrive, but one never truly arrives. In my opinion, you know, it's just, you know, about the journey and what we discover and learn about ourselves along our journeys and how we're able to immerse ourselves in it, relish every moment of it, and keep learning, growing, relearning, and making the impact that we were put on this earth to make. And so I would say to other women out there, keep learning, keep exploring, keep growing, keep pushing yourself, and keep saying yes when you want to say no. Think big, you know, and be bold. Be bold and use your voice for something bigger than yourself. There's a quote that has really stuck with me, especially as I navigate this journey of grief. And it says, the way we honor the dead is by living well. Because if we spend our lives never living, we lost what they had. So let us live with COVID, you know, and the strange times we are navigating. Let us focus on living and let us pay attention to seasons and the messages those seasons are giving to us.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Those are great words to live by.
Thank you so much, Peter.
You're welcome. You're welcome, of course. So if you want to donate, please visit Sexy Like a Book website. I'm going to have everything linked so that you can donate to Sexy Like a Book and to the development of Liberia's next generation of leaders. Patrice, it has been such a blessing and a joy to have you here with us today. I appreciate you squeezing me in between your travels, and it's so wonderful and joyful to have you here.
It's been such a wonderful conversation, Avis. I'm so honored and I feel truly blessed to have connected with you. And I just look forward to all of the incredible work we will do together. I'm sure we will do some great work together to advance the stories and voices of women across the world. And in particular, we need to get you to come to the African continent.
I'm up for that. Yeah. I'm up for that.
So thank you so much for having me.
Of course, anytime. You listen, if you want to come back, you let me know. We will schedule another interview. I love having you here, and I love hearing this story, and I love to hear about all the great things that you're doing to inspire and mentor these young girls and young women in Africa, in West Africa, and all around the world. It does bear repeating for every young woman and young girl, no matter where they are.
Absolutely, Avis. Thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for the platform and the space and opportunity to connect and share. Loads of blessings and love and positive energy to you. Thank you so much.
Please make sure that you like, subscribe, and share the podcast. And make sure that you follow Patrice and Sexy Like a Book to hear everything she's doing on all her social media. I will include all of that in the show notes. I will see you soon. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, checking out the podcast. Thank you for inviting me into your space. And until next time, I hope you will continue to thrive, grow, and be kind to yourselves and be kind to others.